始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんが。
まともに始めなさいよ。
約束はいらないから、
Live from LA, it's Anime Diet! This is episode 19.
Wait a minute. Didn't we have episode 19 just yesterday?
But I think you're mistaken, Ray. I think it was actually the day before yesterday. And yesterday we did 19.
Actually, I thought it was like a month ago that we did 19.
I'm pretty sure I woke up in the same position.
Oh dear, and was it, were they playing the same song on the radio too?
Yes, it was exactly the same song.
I'm curious,
the Linkin Park thing.
What position was that you woke up in, Fred?
We don't need to know that. Seriously.
Actually, I recant.
Yeah.
A little too young to know about that, son. Just kidding.
Well, considering you're listening to Linkin Park, I'd imagine it might have been interesting.
Yeah, in either case, this is Anime Diet Radio, episode number 19, take 3. The past month and a half we've had a lot of difficulties with recording this particular episode.
Angel attacks, you know, like virus hacks.
Yeah.
You know, like international terrorists, cyberspace. Yeah.
Me almost spilling water into the keyboard of my laptop. Yeah.
Digital ED. Yeah. You know.
Basically what happened the first time was that my computer decided to futz out on me. We tried to improvise some stuff. But in the end, one of the files got corrupted. And so that just didn't work. The second time, we actually did record successfully about a month ago. But because of school and because of real life considerations of both on my part, I just wasn't able to do it on time, and it just felt so old that we're going to be releasing it a little bit later as the last episode.
And Mike, you failed to mention when the man tried to shut us down.
Yes, that's right. Yesterday, at around 8 a.m. Pacific time, Ray told me that the site appeared to be down. And mm-hmm. I thought it was just one of those routine server outages that host providers sometimes have. But when I called them, they told me that our account, had been locked due to unspecified abuse.
What?
And that we had been transferred to their intellectual property department.
Mike, I told you not to hack into the Homeland Security's sectionized computer.
How did you know about that?
What do you mean, how do I know about that? I know a lot of the... Oops.
See, everybody knows that Anime Diet is a front for a otaku liberation terrorist organization. Come on. That's common knowledge.
We only hired professionals, like I've always said. And that's why you're going to write in my name for president in November. And so...
Yes, President Gendo.
Yes, yes, yes. But in either case, I was really panicked. It seemed like we were getting busted for some unknown copyright violation, because that's the only reason why we'd be brought up on IP charges. But it turned out, a couple of hours later, the website came back, and I wanted to see whether it was really, in fact, a mistake or not. And yes, it turned out that it was really just a routine server update, and servers getting reset. And no, there was not actually an abuse claim filed against us. So, having gone through that experience, we at Anime Diet want to tell you, all you downloading kids out there, you know, do the right thing, you know. Do the right thing and buy that $40 anime, you know, from Bandai Visual with only one episode on it. Because you know that's the legal and the right thing to do, kids. You saved that checks in the mail? Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah. Thanks a lot. You know, it was a pleasure doing business with you.
This public service announcement was not brought to you by Anime Distributors of the United States of America Corporation, patented limiting.
But in either case, we're glad to be back. We're glad to be rocking and rolling today.
in the right positions too.
Yes, in all of the right positions. And we have got a couple of news items for you. One, actually touching on some copyright issues in what I think is a huge victory for fandom. And also just some of the shows that we've been watching. And you can look forward to our spring 2008 preview next time, or whenever Hashihime decides to put up that wonderful preview post. But in either case, why don't we go ahead and move on into our first news item. Now, if you have been a longtime listener of Anime Diet Radio, you know that several episodes back, around the time when Justin Savakis wrote his infamous commentary on Anime News Network, that we were talking about the industry.
I mean, his Nazi propaganda piece that talks about all fan subbers are evil and you guys are evil, we are evil too.
Well, that's not actually Justin Savakis. Justin Savakis' main point is that the companies had better listen up or they're going to lose all their business.
Sorry, Justin.
Oops! We'll print a retraction later.
yeah, he was the one who actually suggested that the Japanese companies needed to take proactive action to get digital distribution going. And apparently, just recently, Gonzo has answered the call. Yes, Gonzo, the studio that gave us Last Exile, the studio that also gave us Rosario plus Vampire.
Yes.
So both trash and gold.
Samurai 7, Speedgrapher.
Welcome to the NHK. Saikano. And many other illustrious and not-so-illustrious titles.
Psychono. I can't believe you failed to mention Bokurano.
And Bokurano, yes. The show that all the manga fans love to hate. Because the director admitted that he hated the manga. Yep. In either case, Gonzo has taken the extraordinary step. And I emphasize just how extraordinary this is. They have decided to bypass the American anime industry altogether by taking two of their upcoming spring 2008 shows, and on the same day that they're broadcasting in Japan, they're going to put out on YouTube, on that infamous streaming site Crunchyroll, and on BOST, that same episode, subtitled in English, on the same day, for free.
Wait a minute. I thought you said that had to be paid.
There is the option of paying for an HD version, high definition stream.
Wait. No dub?
No dub.
What we do?
Yes.
It's a great day for fandom. Basically, in all the episodes where we were talking about what the industry...
feels orgasmic.
It's like when we were talking about the industry last time, we were basically saying that this is what they need to do. They need to find a way to compete directly with fan servers by getting us episodes out really quickly, subtitled, without a dub, without waiting for the 6 months it takes to license and to dub stuff. Mm-hmm. And it seemed for a while that the Bandai Visual solution looked like it was going to be the model, and that model would have meant 1 to 2 episode discs costing $40 to $60. That's how much they were price pointing Shigafumi and True Tears, which was originally scheduled to come out in May but has been delayed because they need to consider market considerations, which is probably code word for we know no one's going to buy it at that price point. And we had better rethink everything.
Wait a minute. Would it be the people from Gonzo actually listen to us?
Who knows?
Could be a coincidence, but I cannot.
I know somebody at Madhouse has our business card. I gave them to the director and the character designer of Claymore. If Madhouse is the next to follow.
Oh my god, you know what I'm realizing is that they can actually understand our English. They can listen to English and understand English podcasts.
I want to know where they got their Babel fish. That's what I want to know. That's for all the Douglas Adams fans out there. But that's going to be coming out. Yes, even on Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll has been the bane of a lot of not just anime producers, but also fan servers. A lot of fan servers really hate that that their releases are being put up on Crunchyroll. But Crunchyroll recently got $4 million of capital investment from a venture capitalist group, and I think that woke the anime industry up in Japan. Because instead of... Because if this were the RIAA or the MPAA, of course, the moment you get venture capital, they'll want to sue. That's what happened to Napster, right? And that's what happened to YouTube when Google acquired it. But apparently, instead, Gonzo entered into talks with Crunchyroll, and this is the outcome. And the outcome could not have been better. It's amazing if you think about it. GDH's comment is that this decision to provide its content globally in parallel with Japanese broadcast is an effort to offer equal accessibility and new viewing opportunities to fans around the world, while at the same time showcasing a legal online alternative to illegal file sharing and downloading. And they've also emphasized that this is actually for foreign viewers only, interestingly enough. Mainly because they already have lots of streaming video services for Japan. So apparently they've actually been at it in Japan for a while. Which means that I think they are catching the wave for their domestic market. But anyway, why don't all of us actually talk a little bit about the one show that I have information for, which is going to be getting this treatment, which is the Tower of Druaga, the Aegis of Uruk. what do you guys think about this? You guys saw the preview by any chance for that?
I actually have not been able to see the preview. I'm probably the worst person to ask on this. I have not been able to see the preview for this. But I've seen some of the screenshots, some write-ups of it, the plot summarization, and it looks promising.
Right. And I had heard, actually, that this was one of the most highly anticipated shows of the season, along with the second season of Code Geass. Apparently a lot of fan servers were waiting for their opportunity to come sub it. But now, with this decision, it looks like the need for fan subs just may just no longer be necessary in this case. And honestly, that's good news. Because a legal alternative that gets the companies at least some money, while still satisfying our need for convenience and to be able to watch the latest stuff, is really, I think, going to satisfy those of us who are hardcore fans. Because I do think that this is aimed at a relatively small segment of the foreign anime market in general, because as you know, 75% of American fandom prefers dubs, and so this is actually really aimed mostly at people like us, and it's a very kind gesture.
The elite of the elites.
That's right.
75% of the anime fandom prefers dubs.
That is correct. If dubs did not exist, 75% of the sales of DVDs would not happen. That's a documented fact. Like, if it was just sub-only releases, nobody would buy it. That's just because I think it has to do with the fact that anime's gateway to popularity in this country was a Cartoon Network, and Cartoon Network only shows dubs. So the dub actors have their own fan base. If you go to a con, you'll see that. I mean,
yes.
Yeah.
So, true.
I never saw
perplexing, but true.
Yeah. Yeah, to those of us who just simply understand just how incredibly superior subs are, you know, the original Japanese audio is, you know, we just can't understand that mentality after all.
Well, you know, we've had this discussion before, but yeah. I would want to say that, you know, there are times where the dubs actually have been quite good, and, you know, I've been well pleased with them, and, you know, for example, Cowboy Bebop and a few others, you know, but, you know, in general, like, as we've often said, it's just that, you know, it's we feel like it's better to stay within the vein of the original creator's intent and the original an original translation instead of trying to fit American words into that mouth movement that may or may not make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Like, that's a huge problem with dubbing, is trying to match the lips.
But you know what, though? Even the Japanese themselves don't do really lip sync.
No, they don't. But the American dubbers almost always try to do that, actually. Because that's the norm. That's the norm in American animation, especially since Disney. Disney actually records the audio first. Then they have the animators match their lip movements to the audio. And few anime has been done that way. The one exception I can think of is actually Akira. Akira was done that way to the original Japanese audio. Yeah, basically, this is a really momentous decision, I think, and the two shows that are in question, one is called The Tower of Druaga, and the other one is a mecha CGI show, apparently, called Blast Writer. Uh-huh. Yeah, and actually, yeah, it looks like we've done a little research on the Tower of Druaga. It seems to be based on the old Babylonian myth of Gilgamesh. What do you know about it, Jeremy?
Well, as far as the Babylonian myth of Gilgamesh, I don't know as much about, but what I do know, it is loosely based on a video game series, the Tower of Druaga, that is pretty long-standing, has several different episodes. Once again, I say it's loosely based. Actually, the first game came out in 1986. I'm sorry, 1984. Was released by Namco. And has had about 7 or 8 different adaptations, the last one being released in 2007. Okay. But unfortunately, the series, like I said, is only loosely based, totally different cast of characters, even a different setting and story. So, like I said, very, very loosely based.
I see.
But I think they're probably, you know, calling upon that audience, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah, again, this was going to be one of the more highly anticipated titles. And Ray, you looked at the trailer for Blast Writer, correct?
I just looked at it, and I feel like it's all CG and very little cell animation. Like, that can be good, that can be bad, and these days the CGs are looking better than, say, you know, they're better than Blue Submarine, for sure.
Right, that was Gonzo's first effort, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah, but, you know, like, I say the action looks excellent, highly excellent, and there was one scene, like, Macross-style missile explosions and missile fights.
Ah, nice.
And it has sword fights and all that, but I have to say, though, it's looking mostly CG. Mm-hmm. Very few, I mean, at least in the promo, it's mostly CG and very few cells.
Hmm, interesting.
Any.
Well, of course, we don't know exactly how it's going to be in this particular case, but Gonzo has given us the opportunity to find out exactly how it's going to be at very little or no cost to us. And so, fans out there, if you want companies to do this, we need to support them. We need to, if these are shows that look really interesting to you, you need to go to one of the sites that they're going to be doing it at, YouTube, Crunchyroll, or Bost, and you need to do that, and ideally, you need to write them a letter. You need to write them an email or a letter saying how much you appreciate this.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the anime industry needs to wake up.
I would say, though, I would lean towards Crunchyroll, or I'm not really familiar with Boss so much, but I mean, YouTube is pretty broad in its spectrum, and Crunchyroll focuses on pretty much anime, overseas media. I think that's where I would like to give my support, you know, especially since they're getting some venture capital and startup money. That has a potential to be a huge, you know, source for this sort of thing. YouTube is kind of already established, and I don't think they're really going to appreciate the depth of it.
And the thing is also Crunchyroll has high def streaming already.
There you go.
It used to be you had to pay for it, but recently it's gone free.
I didn't actually even know that.
Yeah, they're using a peer-to-peer technique to let everybody now have high-def things. Though my guess is that's where the fee is going to come in. Because the system that was in place, that where you had to pay $6 a month to get high-def streaming, my guess is that you're going to pay something like that in order to watch the high-def streams of these Gonzo shows. And that's fine.
Of course.
That's perfectly fine. That's a better use of the money than, you know, illegally profiting off basically pirating. So that's...
Sure.
So yeah. Anime fans out there, you got to support Gonzo. You got to let them know that this is the way to go. So,
well, I think it's good because it's actually, you know, taking away any excuses. I mean, we can't get it as early, you know. Oh, you know, we got to wait for the stupid companies to bring out their dubs, you know, so many months later. Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
No, not anymore. Now, so don't download the fan subs. Just don't download it. It's if you want to see more efforts like this.
Honestly, I would say that I know there may be some people that really don't adhere to this code as much in the fan subbing realm, but hopefully I would think that the burden of not doing something is going to be on the fan subbers to not take on these sort of projects.
Right.
So that would be, I think, where it would come.
I guess that would go especially with fan servers. And, well, fan servers have always loathed Crunchyroll to begin with, so I guess.
Well, that might be a little difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I think for one thing that, like I said, if the subtitles are good enough, high quality enough, which, you know, they're going to have the script ahead of time. There's no reason they shouldn't hire someone that could, you know, do a very good translation, especially with a script ahead of time.
Exactly. Exactly.
It'd be much easier, actually, than playing back and trying to get the hear the audio and then transcribe it. It'd be so much easier. So, I mean, I think you actually would come out with a better quality subtitle, potentially. If this happens, I think that, like I said, it's going to take away a lot of the initiative for fan service to even tackle that project. So why bother?
I'll just close with just saying that there is one more lame excuse that I've actually seen on the forums, which is that some people prefer the fonts, kind of the fancy fonts.
Uh-huh, right.
Guys, that's a lame excuse, guys. Right. That's a lame excuse.
There's no reason that they may not head in that direction in the future, too. I mean, they'll be using the same technology, I would think.
I don't know how that's going to work out. But in general, most professional subtitles are done very plainly. And that's partly because of DVD technology being only able to support that. And partly because just simply it looks gaudy. I think to many people that looks kind of gaudy. It looks kind of you've got a logo, like especially in the opening sequence, and it just kind of looks tacky. And so, you know, in order to make it look clean and professional and official, you know, they're probably going to stick with that.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. You know,
we'll just wait and see, and we are going to find out actually just in a couple of weeks. So, everybody, you know, start your engines and give a hand to Gonzo. And so, and anyway, that's pretty much wraps up this discussion about the industry, the first one we've had in several months. All right. We haven't really seen much of Megumi Hayashibara lately, except in Paprika, most recently.
Pretty much for the last 8 years.
The last major role I remember her being in was that aunt in Love Hina, and that was all the way back in 2000. And by then...
99. That was 99.
Or 99. By then, she'd started playing characters where her voice pitch was a lot lower. Like playing more mature kind of women, kind of like Faye Valentine and Cowboy Bebop. Well, but of course, those of us who started watching anime, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the day being like in the early 2000s and late 90s, like I did, or for Ray even earlier, and for Jeremy even earlier too, you know, Megumi was really kind of the hot voice actress of that time period, of the early 90s and mid 90s. She was Lena Inverse in Slayers. And according to Dragon Magazine, in the May issue of Dragon Magazine that was released on March 19th, they initially announced that there is going to be a brand new season of Slayers, of all things. It's going to be called Slayers Revolution. And the announcement also hinted, tongue-in-cheek but not stated, that the character Zelos actually will be the main character rather than the popular female lead Lena. That's somewhat disturbing news, because I think she really made the show in many ways with her incredibly funny voice. But we actually don't know any more information, actually, because there's going to be another announcement on May 20th that will probably tell us whether the original cast is coming back, for one thing, you know, and when it's going to start airing. And so, because up to this point, all that we know is that there is going to be a sequel. And so this really kind of brought back memories for me, because I watched Slayers, the first season, like many years ago. And Ray, I think you watched most of the television series, right?
I watched all of the television series, every episode.
Oh, wow. And I've also watched some of the OVAs as well. And the one where Lena's paired up with, I think her name is Negi, really big boobs in that, like on a laugh.
It's Naga.
Naga, sorry.
Yeah, you're thinking about the magic of Maho Sensei.
Whoops.
was a guy.
Mike, you got schooled otaku style.
I took you to school in anime.
You did.
He took you to school and disciplined you with corporal punishment. Like.
Oh my God.
Oh, wait. I don't want to think about that.
No, you do not want to think about that.
Yeah, anyways, my experience with Slayers, unfortunately, is even less in-depth than Mike's. I'm afraid the only episodes of Slayers that I got to see was the early days of anime for me, which would have been about 96, 97, something like that, when I was actually back in Tennessee, pretty much a really good place to be able to get anime at that time. But, you know, it was the local Blockbuster, which is actually 30 minutes from my house. And when they had the, like, only the volume 3, I think, on VHS. So that gives you kind of, I think, 3 and 7, maybe. You know, they just had weird, like, they didn't have 1, 2, and 3. They had, like, 3 and 7 or 16. So that's pretty much as I actually got to see of Slayer. So I found it mildly entertaining, but, it, you know, at the time, it was whatever I could get my hands on. So.
I mean, it's not a show that you would go to look for to, like, cry or be, like, incredibly moved by the insight it has into life or whatever. Like, it was just a really cool slapstick comedy.
It's a fun show. It was a perfectly fun show, man.
Where a high-pitched Megumi Hayashibara would talk really, really fast, eat enormous amounts of food, and slap around the dumb blonde guy.
Dude, like, but it was fun, though. Like, the whole team plays off each other. She maybe takes initiative, but everybody plays a good important role.
Right.
Well, yeah. I think one of the issues was that pretty much all that was available were dubs.
So that
I'm sure, you know, took a lot out of the original story. So
right,
no one can replace Megumi Hayashibara. I'm sorry,
nobody.
I'm predicting that if they hire a new cast, kind of like what they did with Gunslinger Girl 2, there's gonna be no one's gonna watch it. It's just not gonna.
Yeah. It's not even gonna be a fan bash. It's just gonna be like no bash. Nobody's gonna watch it.
Yeah, just no one's just gonna do it. And it's because really, it's one of those cases where the voice actress and the character are so united that you just can't separate the two. Could you imagine anyone else other than Hirano Aya doing Konata or Haruhi Suzumiya? I mean,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, yeah, it's the same thing. You can't stop Megumi. I mean, though I'm wondering how she's going to be able to do that voice again.
That sounds like a music video or something like that, or a movie. You just can't stop Megumi.
I know.
I'm going to pitch that to her agency as her new campaign slogan. Right.
I would bust into a song right now, but I really don't want to scare our listeners too much.
Please don't. Yeah. We don't want to have to make you the target of all the teasing, too. Yeah,
I really wouldn't want to take your role, Mike. I really, really wouldn't want to take your role.
Yeah, I have a thick skin now, so I'm used to it. So, yeah, you don't.
We're all crows when it comes to singing, and we're not talking about just the black crow. So.
We're not even Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Although I do hear Mike is a little too hot to handle.
Anyway, it appears that I'm not even sure what studio is doing the new Slayers anime, and of course you will hear about it when more information is forthcoming in May. And so we'll see whether this relic of 90s fandom can make a comeback, just like Hideaki Anno is trying to revive Evangelion right now. Apparently there
are... How many more EVA can we have? Jeez.
Exactly. But I'm just waiting for a non-camera version to come out on internet so I can review it, or at least a DVD. Actually, it's not been licensed yet in the United States, so but I'm just waiting to review that someday. It got released in the theater in a whole bunch of places in Asia recently, actually, including Singapore. Which is why all the Singaporean bloggers have been writing about it. But,
I just feel like saying, "Oh my God, Gendo! How many more? How many more sons could you can you destroy?"
Exactly. How many more Shinjis do you have to pull out of the tank to like make really depressed and angsty and whiny? I mean,
wait a minute. Was he really pulled out of a tank? I thought he was given natural birth.
Well, okay. Well, it's that and other methods that Gendo has up his sleeve. The first one was.
God, what a huge spoiler.
But anyway, I'm the one in charge after all, so. Yeah. I have the rights to my own plans. But in either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to the mailbag section. Got
got a box full of letters. Think you might like to read some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed to me.
We do want to offer our sincere and profound apologies to Koneko-chan. We assumed by the moniker Koneko-chan that Koneko-chan was a female. This is, in fact, wrong.
Oh, darn!
Oh, no!
And
there goes Raymond's fantasy.
And Koneko-chan, who, in fact, posted to our last episode, in fact, acknowledges that this is unfortunate for all the fanboys out there. I am a guy.
Oh, no. He writes.
And even now, I'm still consciously remembering to say he and not she. I am very, very sorry. apparently, according to the comment, Koneko-chan is actually the name my sis gave to her stuffed animal cat. Koneko-chan is also the Xbox screen name I used back in the Halo 2 College Network games for the "You have been sniped by kitty cat" kill line. And the screen name has stayed around ever since. And so, we all know, of course, what they say about assuming. And we fully admit that we have been made asses. So
I wasn't involved in that. So.
No, you weren't involved in that. That was just there me and Ray. And so,
yes, lucky.
Yeah, it was a good way. It was a good day to be away, in a way. But Koneko-chan does conclude by congratulating us on another fun episode with good sound effects. I will have you know the sound effects took about an hour and a half to add, and so they are actually constitute a fairly large part of the production time, but they are worth it, I think. They do make it much more appetizing to listen to.
Right.
So thank you for the correction, Koneko-chan.
I think I'll just call you Koneko-kun.
That would probably be more appropriate if this were, in fact, Japan. Which it is not. Uh-huh. I do have one question, however, Koneko-kun. Uh-huh. If you go by that screen name, especially on an MMORPG, or maybe even in Halo, do you get all these lonely, nerdy guys treating you like you're a girl? And, like, they'll do things for you, and they'll, like, treat you totally differently because they assume you're a female? I know a number of MMO players who like to play female characters for that reason. Mm-hmm. They basically get an easier time, and also, of course, they get their share of virtual sexual harassment, the kind that my co-host so graciously indulged me in earlier on in this episode, and worse. And so, I would just like to know that you can answer in the next when this episode goes up a little bit later. So. That concludes our very brief mailbag section, since that is the only piece of mail we got for the last episode so far. Mm-hmm. So.
We're knights of the round table, three dots where we're able. We do routines, to call the scenes, to footwork, impact cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And finally, we're going to talk a little bit about the shows that we've been watching on our round table section. Knights of the Round Table. I have actually just finished watching a couple of shows. One is a more recent one, Clannad. I've also watched a Clannad movie, which has some very interesting contrasts to the television show, since it was done by a different studio and a different voice acting cast. And I also want to talk about an oldie that I just finished on DVD. It's good old Helsing, which I think is just pure awesome. But what are you guys thinking about talking about today in your segments?
You know, there's a couple things actually that I personally have been watching. I mean, of this season, as much as I can, as often as they come out, Ghost Town, Bamboo Blade probably comes out the most often. I've actually been, and once again, Ray is going to call me the resident Narutard, but I've actually been watching Naruto Shippuden. Sometimes to my dismay, sometimes my like. I think it's actually been getting pretty good. It's finally coming back around to where they started at.
Hmm.
At the beginning of the episode, they actually jumped ahead really far and then are coming back. Actually, I still haven't watched the double episode that was just released this week by Databio, and is pretty much going to be, I believe, that segment. I think it was just released Friday. So right. I was actually out of town, so I wasn't able to watch it. But it's waiting for me tonight. So I watched I was watching Persona some a little bit, and some older shows, slightly older, that I just finished watching were Overdrive and Okiku Furikabute, and for short, Ofuri. And both of those are sports animes. one is about baseball, and the other one is actually about bike racing.
That's interesting. I've been watching Slam Dunk on TV. That's also sports.
Ah, yes.
You know, that's one I never saw, but I hear is actually one of the staples of sports anime. I previously to this, well, I can't really say this year, I started watching iShield 21 about 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it started.
Right.
But previous to that, I really wasn't into sports anime, and even within this last year is when I started watching a bit more.
Right, so you've been watching Slam Dunk, huh? Cool. What else have you been seeing?
Yeah. I've been watching Slam Dunk on TV. Fortunately, they actually played that. That's an awesome soap, sports soap opera. And it's men's passion! But, oh, boy. And then I watched, They're My Noble Masters. And anybody says, what the fuck are you watching that? My answer is, well, I the fuck don't know. I don't know what I'm watching. It comes out, and I download it, and today I was saying to myself, dude, why are you wasting time on it? And guess what? The next episode is the last episode.
Oh, so you're almost done.
Yeah, I wasted 12 episodes, and I finally get it. Dude, why did I waste my time on this? Oh, too bad.
But, can elaborate further on that as we move on to our individual sections. I guess I'm going to go ahead and start. Anyway, I have been watching two shows which are really... You can't think of shows that are more opposite from one another. Clannade, the adaptation of a key visual arts graphic novel, or visual novel, rather. And Hellsing, an older show. I was actually watching that on DVD. And, one is a badass horror action show, which features an incredibly awesome vampire. And the other one is a cutesy boe semi-romance, in which a bunch of girls all... basically have their problems fixed by the main character. And I like them both to certain in different ways. But what were you about to say over there?
I was just about to make a wisecrack about, these girls that had their problem fixed by a certain character. It just, it just sounds like a porn. I don't know why.
Interestingly enough, Clannad is in fact the first game put out by Key that didn't have porn sections in it.
Interesting.
Air and Canon, the PC versions, all had like H scenes in it. So on the PC versions, when they got console ports, they didn't. They could take those out because Sony doesn't allow porn on the PlayStation 2. Yeah, and so the basically Clannad, is about the story of a depressed young man named Tomoya, who has a father who's a unemployed bum laying about the house getting drunk all the time, and he really hates his dad, and so he has a really bad home family life, and he's kind of but he's also kind of a joker and kind of a mischief maker on his own. I think that's one of the things that makes Clannad so fresh. He's not actually one of those passive wimpy harem leads. He actually has like a real backstory, a real personality. He takes a lot of initiative a lot of the time.
Right.
He likes to play practical jokes on all of his friends, including the girls. And he laughs at them when they fall for it. And the thing is that the show is much more humorous than a lot of the previous Key stuff. A lot of the previous Key stuff was purely trying to tear-jerk you out and trying to make you go, aw. But this one has a lot more humor, and it's sharply written humor. And so it's always a fun thing to watch, regardless of how melodramatic and unbelievable it sometimes got. It's the best out of all the major ones, like Canon and Air. I did not particularly appreciate either of them. But this was actually likable to me because all the characters had decent amount of development, especially the main couple, Tomoya and Nagisa. They actually seemed to have a real relationship. Like they had a real back and forth going. I did feel some of the plot situations were rather contrived from time to time, and it was like clearly designed to wring emotions out of you. I especially felt that way in one particular arc, the not Fuko. Fuko's arc turned out surprisingly well. What's her name? I'll splice in her name later. She's the one who plays horrible violin.
I don't know.
Yeah, but in either case, her arc felt I had a very typical key twist or a cliche, and I felt that was just a step backwards. Now, a lot of fans have complained about the ending of the anime because it ended on episode 22. There's going to be a couple of extra OVA episodes that don't have to do with the main plot coming out. A lot of fans are looking forward to one day Kyoto Animation animating the so-called after story, which is about what happens to Tomoya and Nagisa after they grow up and become adults and they get married and have children. And that's kind of new for anime. Yeah. And it's going to be, if it's anything like, and this is transitioning into what I think about the Clannad movie, then it's actually going to be quite good. Because Clannad, which is the Celtic word for family, is the main theme of this whole story.
So this is an anime about when they grow up and have children. So basically it's pretty much a horror anime. Is that what you're saying? For most otakus?
Yeah. It's about, it wants to reach past beyond, you know, the most romance anime ends when the, you know, couple confess their love to each other and they kiss. And that's pretty much how the television series of Clannad ends. You know, it's very conventional. You could see it coming a mile away. And but this one wants to move into kind of territory, which I think the only other show I can think of that did it was Rumbling Hearts, Kimi ga Nozomu Ain. And that one took a very soap operatic and very depressing look at family life. And it looks like Clannad wants to move into territory where they're talking about how family patterns recur over multiple generations, which is, for this genre, is revolutionary, I think. I mean, that's something you actually see in more higher quality fiction, usually. Mm-hmm. And because, of course, Tomoya is haunted by his father's neglect and occasional abuse. And so that leaves continual marks and scars on him that don't heal overnight. And Nagisa brings some of her own baggage as well. And so it's really interesting how that might play out, because that's what the second half of the Clannad movie does. And it's actually really quite well done, despite the fact that they clearly had extremely low animation budget. And they actually rely on stills, like these still pans of like watercolored painted scenes of the characters where there's no animation whatsoever. it was almost like the last television episode of Eva sometimes.
Really?
That's how low budget it looked. It was really, and the character designs were different because it was done by a different studio. They couldn't use the music from the game, unlike in the television series, and I thought the music from the game was a lot better.
Right.
And the movie also took a much darker mood in general. It was much more depressing and much more morose than the constant humor of the television show. And so it's interesting to see two opposing visions. I'm not sure I really prefer one over the other, because I really want to see this after story. I think there has some real promise and potential in that particular thing. But anyway, enough about all that seriousness. I want to talk about why Anglican vampires rock. And I am, of course, talking about Alucard from Helsing.
AKA and Dracula backwards.
Exactly. It's not Van Helsing. Believe it or not, I used to confuse the two. I thought the American movie Van Helsing, and I got it confused with Helsing the anime sometimes. And
bad confusion.
Yeah. And I believe they actually have some similarities, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Between the television series, the movie?
Yeah.
The American movie and the television series?
Is it? I don't know. I don't know.
Hell no. No. The movie was a horrible tragedy. It was a horrible tragedy and a travesty. It was just a really bad movie about the, supposedly about the guy who would hunt vampires, Van Helsing.
Right. He's a character in Bram Stoker's original Dracula novels. Right. And that's where they got the name Helsing for the anime, obviously. So.
Yeah, before the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
Yeah. But in either case, it's an old show. I think it came out in 2000 or 2001. And most of you listening probably have already watched it. I'm behind the times. I watched it on Netflix DVD. And I just thought it was just badass. I just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed the way Alucard would just try to psych out all of his opponents. And to talk about how incredibly awesome he is. It's like, is that all you can throw at me? You know?
You just like that members of the cloth were considered badass.
Yes. See, you see, that show made me totally feel like a Protestant again.
All the Catholics.
All those
send hate mail to Michael Hall.
All those papists out there, you know, Section 13 coming from the Vatican, you know. England is a Protestant nation. There is absolutely no right for them to be meddling in the affairs of Great Britain and Her Majesty the Queen. That was just so much fun. Oh, my lord. That's
This is going to be a show that's popular with the Irish.
Republican Army. Oh, dear. And the Scottish, too, by the way. Don't forget.
Really?
The Scottish traditionally hate the English. And so... Yeah, it's really interesting to see how the Helsing organization is so royalist and so Anglican. They mentioned the Queen, God, and the Church of England and Great Britain all in the same breath. And so it's just awesome. I mean, it's as if, you know, Sir Integral, she's the leader of the Helsing organization. She's basically, you know, we're Anglicans, biatch! Especially to the Vatican representative. And...
Have you ever used that in a conversation, Mike? Because
I think I'm just getting really excited right now. Yeah, I hope all those people who are interviewing me don't listen to that, except for maybe all the Anglicans out there, because I'm all for you. You know, you know, I actually even went to an Anglican service for Easter today. That's right, it is Easter.
Wait, today? Did you say today?
Yeah, today. Today's Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
I say you went to an Anglican service today.
I did, actually, because it was within walking distance of my apartment, actually. Or actually, Episcopalian. All right, that's what we call him here in America. But,
there you go.
Episcopalians, biatch.
Yep, exactly.
Say that 10 times as fast, Jeremy.
You know, anything actually with biatch at the end sounds really badass.
Exactly.
It's a sub sandwich, biatch.
You know, you thought they were all these, like, pretty guys in robes and incense and stained glass windows and everything, but no, they've got Alucard on their side. They've got the bestest vampire ever on their side. You know?
Like, you said
you call yourself
ever.
A writer. I know. Bestest ever.
The Pope had never better not mess with the Archbishop of Canterbury next time.
Oh, man.
I think I've exhausted all my material that I was originally going to say for my next audio column about religion and anime. I think that was pretty much all I was going to do. It's like, you know, it's like the Spanish Armada, you know, coming to Britain and then, like, being totally beaten. And it just makes you feel like a Protestant. And so there was a movie that just came out about that, the second movie about Elizabeth, and like that's all it's all about, you know. So get your anti-Catholic feelings in. And
Mike is Protestant; he's proud of it. Biatch.
Yeah, I'm just gonna wear orange today. But anyway, but in either case, it was really just a really fun show to watch. I can actually also see why there's a lot of fangirl support for that show, because Alucard is really cool. And, I mean, I remember we did that poll about favorite female fetishes, and people complained that we left out vampire. Now I understand why. And so,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, anyhow. Wow. So did he get you... So you're saying Alucard does something for you, basically. That's what you're saying.
I did not say that.
Okay. So we won't infer that, then.
Right, Ray.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right. Someone's had this neck bitten by a vampire, I guess, at the Mega Playboy Academy.
But
Mike?
You know, I mean, that just makes me stronger. That makes me even more of a Mega Playboy. So watch out, ladies. I mean, I'm coming to, like, you know, I'm coming to suck your blood. I mean, I've got my fangs ready. I've got my fangs.
He said suck.
Have you ever used that as a pickup line, Mike?
Maybe I'll try one day. Maybe I'll try. Anyway, guys, why don't we go ahead and move on into some of you now that I've...
Ray, do you want to take this part? I'm just going to do one episode, I think, basically since Mike just had so much good material. But yeah, if you want to go first, then I'm all for it, Ray.
Oh, sure. I'll say something. And So, like, what was I doing with that anime fandom recently? Well, I was watching Slam Dunk on TV. And for those who actually know something about classic sports anime, Slam Dunk is it. Mm. It's definitely the best basketball soap drama ever. They have so many famous scenes that make Asian boys cry. And before, if you say any of you punk, anybody who says Asian boys are gays, prepare to die.
Wait, even me? I think you're in trouble, man. So I'm an Asian boy.
Uh-oh.
No, I said anybody who says Asian boys are gay or are like, weak.
He says you're not a boy.
Oh, okay.
Which could imply a couple different ways. You could be all taken right that you're a man, but okay, probably he doesn't mean that.
All right, I'm satisfied with that.
He's Gendo. Gendo is not a boy. He's like an old guy.
That's right.
So Slam Dunk makes you proud of your Asian background and the fact that showing that, you know, Asian boys can jump.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, instead of white man can jump, it's Asian man can jump.
They need to do it. They need to have it endorsed by Yao Ming. Yeah, I think they do.
I don't think a lot of people in the United States have ever seen it because I don't think it ever made it into States at all.
No, sports anime generally doesn't make it to the U.S. in general.
Yeah, not on a big scale. I know of people that, you know, did like Slam Dunk. Actually, now that I think about it, I think it was a lot of my Asian friends that really like Slam Dunk. Most of them had no athletic ability whatsoever. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's I actually played on a basketball team when I was in elementary school.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. You did?
In third grade, yeah. I was like the worst player on the team. I got fouled a lot, so that meant I took a lot of free throw shots, actually. And I have actually made one before. That was a long time ago. But
that's impressive.
Yeah.
It's probably better than my basketball career. I will say this much in defense of Slam Dunk, and not to horn in on Ray's time too much. It does come up as the first reference on a Google search for the Wikipedia article with the actual Slam Dunk, or a literal Slam Dunk just underneath it.
Ah.
So that should tell you something.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So when did that come out, actually? Do you know, Ray, roughly?
That was sometime in the early 90s. The manga, probably a little bit earlier. Actually, early to mid-90s around that time. But the manga basically came out a little bit earlier.
I see.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those like late 80s, early 90s stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, from what I've seen here, the series was first aired in 1993, the year I graduated. Oh, I'm dating myself.
Yep.
Okay.
Cool.
It's an excellent show. And then I guess another show I want to talk about is They Are My Noble Masters, and I'm not going to bother with the Japanese.
Kimiaru.
And you know, that's right. And you know, my only impression of that show is, what the hell was I wasting time on this? And I'm on episode 12, and the next episode is 13.
I told you, Ray. I told you.
It took me 12 episodes to realize that they were still wasting time on the first, like, two-thirds of episode 12.
Hmm. Wow. There's no character movement or no plot or anything like
that
at all.
I mean, yeah, you get to learn about them, but what plot? Really, what plot?
Right.
You know, like the next episode, he's drunk ass like bowling playing like Alabama man of a dad. He's coming to kick his ass, basically.
Alabama man of a dad.
Right.
I think we should put that on a t-shirt.
Alabama man of a dad.
I guess like that could be a band, actually. Alabama man of a dad.
And one of the songs, I play bowling and I get drunk. But,
You're thinking of that segment. I think it was either in The Simpsons or some other show, right? Alabama Man?
South Park.
South Park.
It was South
Park. Yeah, South Park. I remember that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember
it was still Ching Pokemon action figures, you can have the Alabama Man with the bowling ball in his hand.
Yeah,
and the beer bottle.
Yeah, and he slaps his woman around. Yeah,
exactly. but yeah, and
interesting you mentioned Cellpunk. I just want to make a quick comment here, and you know, so we can actually maybe segue into American animation, just break a little news there. Interestingly enough, a friend of mine is getting hired to do some rotoing for South Park, and I can't name any names, probably because of confidentiality, so I don't know if I'm really supposed to be saying this, but since he's nameless, they're actually doing an episode, maybe common knowledge, I don't know, patterned after the American classic animation / porn Heavy Metal.
Oh, Heavy Metal. Yeah, I heard about that. It's a late 80s production. You see it in Blockbuster a lot.
I keep on reading. I didn't know.
Sci-fi with lots of boobs, basically.
Yeah. Oh, that fits into a very long tradition, starting from Barbarella. And
anyways, back to Ray.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I was... And they turned back the fan service... fan service stuff. This the begin the first two-thirds of this episode.
Really,
it was strange.
You're saying that it didn't have a lot of fan service after the first couple episodes.
No, something like that. After a few episodes, it wasn't. You know how that the new vampire, the
Rosario
vampire show,
vampire, yeah.
I've penny shot every episode, even in the most recent episode I've watched, which is serious.
Right, it's but, very.
But this show actually has a lot less petty shots, believe it or not.
Really? Of course. Wow, really? For a show called They Are Nine Noble Masters, you'd think that.
Oh, they have fan service, all right?
Yeah.
They do have fan service, but it was decreasing after the first about three or four episodes. Mm-hmm. And then they actually cranked up, like, in the last episode, and he was like, the girl was touching. The maid's breast, and you know her panties were showing, and then she was abusing her sister, like the lowly sister again, and I was like, wow, how long have I been waiting for this?
Wow, you just revealed a lot about yourself there, Ray.
I don't care.
And yet you still don't think the show is redeemable, even after watching all of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, seriously, I watched 12 episodes. I'm going, nothing ever really happened.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know. That does get tiring, even if it doesn't have a lot of fan service, because you want purpose to it. That's why even porn even tries to pretend to have a plot. I mean, you need to
be... And the question, obviously, is how do you know that?
That's the reputation that some of the older hentai ones have, that they actually have a plot. Like, and they have character things. Like, I think there was a famous one called End of Summer that did just that. I didn't watch it, actually, and I say that perfectly honestly. I've never watched it, but it's but that's its reputation.
That title does a porn title if I just
End of Summer.
End of Summer.
That is such a hentai title. Sounds like a dating sim.
It does sound like a dating sim title, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bamboo Blade is nice. It doesn't matter how plain it seems. It just have an excellent. It's excellent in every category. I guess except it's not the Michael Huang style of high drama.
Yeah, yeah. I seem to have attention for that sort of thing.
Yeah, but excellent.
I would agree. I mean, that's actually one of the shows that I've been watching as well, and I'm still waiting to watch episode 24, I believe, which I came out over here this about the same time that the Naruto episode came out on Thursday, I think.
Right.
No, Friday, actually, right before I left, and so I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But it was kind of on a little bit of a emotional cliffhanger, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. I agree. The show has some good drama as well as comedy. A lot of really good comedy.
Yeah.
Some really really great English. Some terrific English with the American character that gets introduced. It's just absolutely one of the most hilarious episodes I've ever seen. I've been enjoying that as well.
I get the feeling that once I pick it up again, it's probably gonna. I actually have some time to watch anime now, so I may actually just go on Crunchyroll or someplace and watch it because I don't know if I have time to download it right now. But yeah. It sounds really funny. Have any of you guys seen Seito no Hana Yome?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I have to. I haven't though.
But that sounds like it sounds like that kind of show. And if it is, I will really enjoy it. So
it is, I think, actually. I haven't watched that much of Seto Hayanoe.
Yeah.
I think, in a way, the comedy is not as outlandish, but I think it's stronger in that sense. It has some outlandishness. I mean, it's not so far-fetched. I mean, one's about mermaids, and one's about actual, like, girls who do kendo, and, you know, just so happens one of them is really badass and can pretty much take on anybody, but, and she's about, what, 4 feet tall?
Yeah.
It has some really interesting characters, some fun character.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you've been watching Bamboo Blade, Jeremy, and what else were you watching, too?
You know, I didn't mention this because what I did mention was a couple sports anime. And since Ray's already covered the sports, I will say the one thing that I didn't mention, which I'm surprised I forgot, was Kaiji.
Ah, yeah.
Which I you know, Kaiji is a kind of hard anime to put in a specific category. But and its audience, I don't know, is probably pretty specific. You have to watch it for a little bit to get into it. For me, it kind of hooked me. But it's the story of a character who is pretty much just really, in many ways, a loser. I mean, he doesn't have a job. He doesn't have...
Is he Chinese? Is he Taiwanese? I'm sorry.
Wow. Way to go with your ethnic pride there.
He comes to Japan. It's set in the mid-90s when the economy is pretty south. And he comes to Tokyo to find a job and can't find a job for about 2 years. He ends up spending all of his time gambling, drinking, and just being, you know, lazy and what else, basically vandalizing people's cars, that high-end cars, Mercedes and whatnot, for fun. And it just so happens that he is approached by basically a Yakuza agent who is coming to collect a debt that he is signed for. And if he has to either pay the debt back or have an opportunity to go on this ship called Espoir, literally French for hope, to have a chance to be involved in this gamble with his pretty much his life at stake, to cancel out his debt, possibly even make well above his debt. So the story starts out there and goes through a couple different parts, but the show is really, like I said, it's a drama about a loser character and how he can, you know, overcome these just insurmountable odds and actually shows, like, his own ability and strength and really just stretches him and tests him because it puts him really on the line. And what's interesting is that in many ways, not to give away too much, but he steps up to the plate with nothing to lose and bravely, you know, just goes out on a limb, you know, much more than many other people would in his place. And it really is kind of a show about not to be cheesy, but the human spirit. But and it also has these really almost annoying and interesting little, like, sounds during the tense moments. Sawa, 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 sawa.
You're making sawa, me sawa, tense.
Sawa. Yeah.
Wow.
So, which is somewhat overdone, but one thing that I really I found interesting too is actually, if you do watch the show and you are fans of it, you need to find there is a video with the Azumanga Daioh intro, totally redone with the characters from Kaiji. And it's disturbing and funny, and only if you watch the show would you totally get it. And it's just one of the best little parody intros for Azumanga Daioh I've ever seen. But yeah.
I would never guess from the art style of Kaiji. I've been told it's an excellent drama. Like, it's an excellent character-driven drama. And it's... I thought it was going to be one of those, again, a kind of a badass type show, just based on the premise and based on the art style. But apparently it's supposed to be an excellent, well-written drama. And I can't believe I've missed it all this time. So I know a number of bloggers who are into it. So
yeah, the manga was hugely popular in Japan. So, you know, I don't know how well the anime is taking, but this is my first introduction to it. And
yeah, and so is that pretty much everything you've?
Yeah, that's everything I'd really like to talk about now.
Absolutely.
If anybody else has nobody else has anything, I guess we can call this our episode 19 of Anime Diet Radio. I'm your host, Michael Wong.
And this is Raymond Hugh from the loser country called Taiwan. Nah, thankfully, I'm still American.
This is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, California.
See you all next time when we hit the big 2-0.
Johnny.